and you may be right. And welcome to the Morning Edge on 1490 AM. I am Floyd J. Winters, and here is Augie.
Good morning, Tampa Bay. Bang, 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 8 times in the back. Well, Ferguson all over again. This time, a video captured the whole thing. New York Times shows the officer, Mr. Slager, because he's now fired, which he should have been. The video happened on Saturday. The report from the white officer in North Carolina, in North Charleston, Carolina, South Carolina, was charged with a murder on Tuesday after a video surfaced showing him shooting in the back 8 times, shooting him 5 times, missing 3, and killing an apparently unarmed black man while he ran away. The officer, Michael Slager, 33, said he feared for his life because the man had taken his stun gun in a scuffle after a traffic stop on Saturday. A video, however, shows the officer firing 8 times at the man, Walter Scott, 50 years old. He was in a Mercedes. Probably that's what drew the officer's attention. How does a black man drive a Mercedes? But I'm just editorializing there. A video shows the officer firing 8 times. Mr. Scott fled. The North Charleston mayor announced the state charges at a news conference Tuesday evening. The shooting came on the heels of high-profile instances of police officers using lethal force in New York, Cleveland, Ferguson, and Colorado as well, and here in this general region. Sarasota had a shooting last year. Police officer was said he was threatened by the young man in his car, so he shot him through the windshield of the guy's car. Totally unprovoked, but a willing killing. This was a sheriff's deputy in the case of the Sarasota situation. This is happening. It's an epidemic, folks. We've got a situation in this country. We have no real regulation that means a damn thing where the police are concerned. They can lie. This police officer lied and said he was in a scuffle, that the man tried to take his taser. And in a video, it's shown the police officer, after he fired the 8 times, knocking him down, one of the bullets went through the man's heart from the back. He goes over. He runs back to the position where the attempted arrest was about, over a broken taillight at 9 o'clock or so in the morning. Really important light there, I'm sure, and real safety issues. The man had a history of missing child support payments, but other than that, no felonious behavior of any real consequence. In any case, he went and got the taser that he said that the man had taken from him, planted it next to the dead body after he had placed handcuffs on the body. The man was dead, not shot through the heart. You wouldn't know that by the shootings, maybe, but you would know it if you felt the pulse, if you gave a damn. And so it looks like a practiced behavior on the part of this police officer and perhaps the 300 or so police officers in North Charleston knew about it. Maybe they didn't do the same kind of behavior, but boy, they sure had to know this. You know, Floyd, this we've had this conversation before, and it just keeps happening and happening and happening. I believe we have got to come about with a system of reforms, and not only the cameras, but not on a here and there, well, let's do it here, let's do it there. We got to do it on the presumption that police are like everyone else. When they make a mistake, they have a tendency to want to make other stories around it, which this officer had done, Floyd. You had a circumstance in your own life where your life was threatened by a police officer.
I almost got killed by a police officer. Was killed. I had a second police officer save my life.
Right.
But I had a police officer come to my house, unbeknownst to me, thought there was a burglary going on. I had no idea. My wife had just the bottoms on, no tops. The guy's shining his light through the window. I have no idea who this is.
I go out. Tom Cobb.
I didn't know he was a cop. I go out to see.
But how
this,
would you know?
It's I go out night. To see who this guy was. There's a big flashlight in my face. I can't see who he is. I can't see a uniform. I can't see a hat. I can't see a badge. And you know, I said, "Who are you?" He says, "Get the F down on your ground. I'm going to kill you." And I said, "Who are you?" And finally, he steps into the area. I back up into my carport where I could have a little bit of light. And I see this guy. And he charges me, knocks me down, puts me in a chokehold, and proceeds to do permanent damage to my neck and my throat. I'm the homeowner. I haven't done anything wrong. I'm just asking who the guy was. And when I see that he is a police officer, I just stand in my driveway carport. He's not happy with that either. He's going to knock me over, put me in a chokehold. This guy was just crazy. Fortunately, a backup came and grabbed the cop's arm, took it off my neck, and saved my life. Now, I'm actually grateful to the second cop. When we had an issue in my neighborhood 2 weeks ago, I happily called the police to see what was going on. I trust them. I know the other 300 police officers in South Carolina are probably good people, but like there are bad teachers, there are bad cops, there are students that just shouldn't be in school. But unfortunately for police officers,
they're there to protect you.
It seems they're there to protect you, but it seems like here they call police officers sometimes because a guy is acting erratic, and they're trying to save their own family members. And the police come in there and they see this guy with a razor blade in his hand or something. Instead of shooting him in the leg, no, you can't do that. They got to shoot him five or six times, not once to stop him. But keep on shooting and shooting and shooting. This particular guy, his crime was a burnt-out taillight. That was his crime. You can see the still pictures that he was far away from the police. His back was towards the police. He was no threat to the officer, and the officer fired and fired and fired and fired and murdered this man. And if it wasn't for the video camera, he would have gotten away with
it.
And
the person who did this held on to it until from Saturday till Tuesday, Floyd. So you have a situation where a citizen, I think what needs to happen, if this is going to change, Floyd, more citizens have got to carry a video cam around or some device to start and watch what the, and I think actually follow the police to see if they're really doing their job and film them. Because if they won't put the filming up on the car, on the police cars, and won't really do the responsible thing, we're going to have these lying individual police officers who are going to get off the hook, and the thin blue line will protect them. And then the prosecutors who prosecute on the basis of felonizing blacks in the primary situation, most blacks get felonized over a white. The same thing can happen to a white. They'll let them go. But a black... So there's real racism in the police departments at some level. But the point is, if you're going to trust your police as you desire to do, I will call the police on circumstances in the hope that they'll do the job that's necessary to be done. But when they do this kind of a job on you and on your fellow citizen, and a black man in a community is a fellow citizen. If he's not, then we've got a problem, Floyd. This is not a joke anymore. This is not about whose side are you covering. They're not there to protect one group of people over another. They're there to do the job of protecting all people. They're there to enforce the law fairly, evenly. This execution system that's going on within various police departments, I mean, the numbers are starting to get out of control, and that's all with this in this year. And a lot of it, the Garner situation in New York, the situation in Cleveland where the young kid was killed within seconds by police who want to do the shooting, and they're wearing a uniform that should be taken from them. This is what's going on, and people at the top have got to stop making excuses for police who are bad, and this is because and the other cops have got to stop doing the same thing. The fear among fellow police officers, probably, this is my conjecture now, Floyd, that they probably are afraid that the cop that they accuse or point out is going to be on duty with him. He'll escape any kind of punishment, and he'll have to travel around in a car with him on some call or whatever, and he'll get shot in the back. Because the fear of a fellow cop, and the military is the same way. If you are going to break the code of silence on some things, military, police, whatever it is, you'd be careful because that's called, what's that called when you shoot them in the back?
Fragging for the police officers.
Fragging.
If it's against the higher ranking officer. Yeah. By the way, if you have a comment or a thought on this topic, give us a call at 941-745-1490. We're talking about, at this particular point, this video and these still pictures that show this man far away from the police officer, his back towards the police officer, absolutely no threat to the police officer, running, obviously healthy,
running
and just moments later dead. Is this the punishment for a broken taillight? Death?
Street justice, Floyd.
Yeah,
street justice.
Maybe this guy grabbed the guy's taser. Maybe he didn't. But he, at this point,
they found out that he didn't because the police officer had lied. He went back to the car and got his taser. And the taser has a wire cord, and you can see it when it's pulled from your hip when you take it out. So they determined that he planted the taser next to the dead body at that point to make it appear as though he was having it all the time. And after he handcuffed a dead man. That's what he basically did.
And at this point, we've got to ask ourselves the question, how much longer will our police, after what we've seen, stand by this thin blue line? This is just, it's becoming criminal in this case. In New York, we had a situation where a guy is selling loose cigarettes, and he gets attacked basically by a number of police officers and choked by one, and the other police officer just stood there and allowed it to happen. The guy is selling loose cigarettes, and he's choked to death by a chokehold, the same kind of chokehold that was put on me that almost killed me. By the way, I had a police officer told me, he says, you got to take legal action against this guy. This guy is dangerous. We can't afford to have him on the street.
Well, you know, when I had the same circumstance in Illinois. I witnessed what amounted to a homicide by a police car. I witnessed a wreck, and it so happened that the person that was driving the car that got struck by the other car, the police car had to be doing 100 miles an hour or more, and this big Toronado, it drove it diagonally across an intersection. The gears engaged, the Toronado, which is a big, heavy front-wheel Oldsmobile, it went into reverse and went across the intersection, went into the air about 10 feet and dropped down. When you looked in the car, here was the guy's girlfriend dead in the passenger seat, and he was the driver. It was coming from the right side of the passenger side where the police officer struck. And they lied and said they only were driving 45 miles an hour, and he broke the law by turning against a red light, supposedly. But the lying is the practice. And when you see people constantly being told, well, police can lie to get a conviction, well, they get convictions, they conduct justice on the street too damn much of the time. And it can go against, and this was a white woman that was killed, and a white man who happened to be a police officer on off-duty situation, and two white officers who drove this reckless car. I tried to be a witness. They didn't want any part of it. And when I interviewed one of the heads of the department in the police community relations, I had gone to school with him in high school, and I said, what in the hell is wrong with the situation, Frank? His name is Frank, and I won't give you the last. He says, we can do nothing about it. We've got a union here. That's the excuse. And so what are you doing? Well, these guys are both getting desk duty. When I told this situation to some friends of mine, this one woman who was in security with a local hospital situation, I know that guy. He wouldn't have done that. I said, well, then you better talk to the head of police community relationship in that town and find out what he told me. And these guys are criminals. They walk around on their conscience.
Some are criminals.
These guys that do these things are criminals. And that doesn't say all, of course that doesn't say all the police. Every crime that happens in a community isn't caused, all black people are not criminals, but so when black people commit a crime, is the rest of the community criminal? Is one white man who does a crime in the society and make all white people criminals when they're convicted? No. And the same thing's true of police. They're individuals, but they're not acting individually, because I believe they're acting with a social compact that don't tell on me, I won't kill you, or I won't tell on you. And this is what I think the thin blue line really amounts to. There's a lot of things that are headlining. This one is going to...
Well, let's just look at that a little bit longer. So, Augie, what do you propose? If you're looking at that,
I think we need
what is a practical proposal to that?
The practical thing is we come down hard on this. We make police officers meet standards that are set up nationally. So we have... This is a national problem, folks. This ain't just a local problem from here or there. There's city after city after city is having this problem exposed in blatant situations. There's hundreds, if not thousands, of circumstances all year long that are not coming out, that are not videotaped, that are not witnessed, and the cover-ups continue. So unless you come down with standards coming from the federal government, because the states won't do it, the politicians won't let it happen, the prosecutors don't let it happen, they pick and choose what they're going to prosecute, and they ignore the hindmost. This is what's going on. So unless you have a set of standards recommended at least by the Justice Department for its police, for sheriffs, and so on, and then to limit the number of police departments so you can bring some control. In Ferguson, Missouri, there are like 25 or 30 police departments all around the city of St. Louis, aside from the sheriff's department, aside from the Metropolitan Police of St. Louis. So you have this overabundance of people being on the payroll called police, who then have no regulation, to no real oversight, and then these blatant abuses come up. In fact, the whole community of Ferguson, I was watching Morning Joe this morning, Floyd, and he was saying, and he was really telling the truth, they're being held hostage by the over-policing of people, so much so that they basically felonize people through debt, through tickets, through all kinds of penalties. And it's rampant.
Manner of walking was a crime in Ferguson, Missouri.
And Ferguson is such
and
a good example.
99%+ of the people were black who were picked up and arrested for manner of walking.
They just had an election in Ferguson, and two new members of the community were elected to their city council, and they were asked, should you disband this police department? And lo and behold, no, we shouldn't. So they should hold on to all these extra policings that go on to do what? To
raise money. They did raise money. Largely, it was a different kind of tax.
Sarasota City
on the black
police
population.
Have a terrible reputation, and some members of the sheriff's department in North and the North Port of Police have a terrible reputation. If you're going to have any kind of regulation, some of these departments need to be shut down, and Metropolitan Police Department with clear, unmistakable recommendations of what constitutes a police officer, what his education level should be, and what his conscience should be in his past relationships. So he comes in clean. He's not a member of the Klan. He's not a member of a gang, and he becomes a police officer, starts wearing the uniform and a badge. Then you start to begin to realize that then these are competent people. An officer that does this stuff is incompetent. He's not capable of doing the job. So your competency level isn't whether you can fire a gun at a firing range and then convert it over from a video game to killing actual people, Floyd. This is a joke. This is a joke on the public. And if you don't think it'll happen to you, just get in the wrong situation. I was roughed up years ago, as a young kid, I was out sitting with a girl in a road, and these two drunken county sheriff department guys drug me out of my car, threw me in the back seat of their police patrol car, and proceeded to punch me in the chest, bang me from side to side, one on my left side, ramming into me, and the other one pushing me, trying to get me to react so they could charge me with something. And I said, book me. I have no record. Book me. I have no record. Book me. I dared them. And then they finally got it when I went silent. I went totally silent. And they hit me one more time and said, get the hell out of here. I had shown them a hunting license. They were so drunk, they didn't know what the license was. And this is common stuff, Floyd. I think the incompetency that's in these departments allows for this stuff. You get good people here, and sheriff this and sheriff that and so forth. And then you get these bums. And the reputation of Sarasota at one time was and I'm not sure it's still that way, but if you fit a uniform, you get to wear it, not what you, whether you could pass any tests whatsoever. So the questionable kind of policing, as it's called, or peace officers, peace to enforce the peace, is not very peaceable when it comes on like this, Floyd. I think it's...
And we have a few issues on this thing, but the thin blue line is part of it. How do you get the police officers sent up for what they feel is right on this situation? Let's stay in this topic. Let me see who this caller is.
All right.
Good morning, The Morning Edge.
All right. So we're gonna talk about, should the police be more regulated? Should we have some kind of controls, or should we allow what's going on to continue?
And so you have a situation where I would propose things like what they're trying to do is to have police cameras. Because not only do you have police officers lying, but you have criminals lie and say the police officers have done something they shouldn't have done. And they like to simply say that the police officer took sexual advantages, which sometimes happens, but sometimes doesn't. Or the police officer did this or said this.
Well, you can't.
And the cameras, I think, would go a long way to...
Obviously, that is the case, Floyd. When you've got a citizen running around taking pictures, and this, how this luck of finding... The family thought there was a dead issue, that he was a dead man, and that was all they were going to hear of it. And the guy called the family and brought the video to the Scott family, and then they forwarded it to the media and to the police department and a copy to the New York Times. Because the pictures that I'm looking at right now on the Wednesday issue, April 8th, of the New York Times, officer charged with murder, front and center, of a black man shot in the back. A 12-year-old shot in the chest within seconds of a police officer pulling up. No questions, just out-and-out killing. A strangling of Mr. Garner in New York for selling loose cigarettes, as you pointed out, Floyd.
Let's take a look at the Eric Garner case.
Yeah.
So Mayor Bill de Blasio takes issue and actually speaks out against such a violence by police officers among black people. And what happens is within, 2 weeks, we have two police officers in New York shot to death. And so
that got all the sentiment of the entire police department. But when de Blasio condemned the thing with Garner, half or a big chunk of the police audience turned their back on him at that time.
So
it was a big number.
Yeah.
And it was all to demonstrate, we don't give a damn about the public servants. We're not public servants. You're there to serve us. We tell the lies, and you get the conviction. And so if we're going to see it only in terms of black people getting convicted, you're kidding yourself, folks. Anyway, 941-745-1490. Give us a call. Your thoughts are as important as ours, for sure.
So in that particular case, we have two police officers who are shot dead, and let's assume those police officers dedicated their lives to protecting and serving the public, and they're shot dead by bad guys, obviously, for whatever the reason was, and you can't blame police officers for, at times, feeling their lives are threatened. We get officers killed annually, dozens of them in the United States, trying to protect individuals, going to serve a warrant for domestic violence, trying to break up a possible burglary or an incident, and people just turn their guns unexpectedly and shoot them. And so how do we deal with that particular issue as well, Augie?
I think when you join the police force, your life may be in peril. But if you treat everybody as a felonious criminal, you're actually, I think, making it worse. If you're a police officer that takes the attitude that they are all criminals, and I have heard from the lips of officers, I knew several in Illinois, and I've heard a few down here, and a few down here who said, no, that's not true, not all people feel that way. And what am I talking about? All people, no exceptions, it was told to me, are criminals. And you got to view them skeptically and with the idea that if you have to shoot them, go right ahead and do it. You always carry a drop gun. I mean, I've heard all of the cynical stuff, and it's serious and it is cynical. It is, I don't give a damn. I'll do my job the way I decide because my life is more important than the law. And that's really it.
And what happens, Augie, is sometimes in these situations we find a police officer. He's almost been struck by a car, by the alleged criminal, and they're involved in a high-speed chase. And as happens with any human, this is just biology.
Yeah, but the high speed.
The adrenaline is pumped up like crazy. You're mad at this person.
Excuses now.
No, I'm just saying what happens in reality. You're angry with this person for jeopardizing your life and jeopardizing the life of the public. And when you finally do stop them, you've got all this adrenaline punched into your system. And it's difficult at that time to cope and to really be a true rational individual, whether you're a priest or a police officer. And that's what sometimes happens in this situation. There's a scuffle, whatever has occurred. And I think in this particular case, this officer probably wasn't an evil man, but some little incident happened that wasn't nearly the way he said it was.
Good men do evil things.
Yeah, and that does happen. Mm-hmm. And again, that's what I like the idea. I want to see these video cameras. If we can put cameras on cell phones and have them so that every, you know, we've got most of the country now carrying cameras on their smartphones. I'd like to see more of them on the police officers. Yes, it's a bit expensive, but it's one way of keeping them constantly reminding themselves.
What's the bigger
that their
price?
Actions.
The price for the self before the phone or
the price
video?
For one dead man killed.
Yeah, that's a much bigger price.
Yes, and that's something we have to do. Fortunately, Manatee County is exploring that, and Sarasota County are exploring
those
issues.
We're going to have to stop
issues.
Exploring. Going to start acting, Floyd. You know that, don't you?
And at this particular time, it's unbelievable. We're halfway through the show. We're going to take a small break and listen to our sponsor right here, and we'll be back. If you have a comment on this topic, call us at 941-745-1490.
Sarasota is home to a true gift, the Posture Clinic of Sarasota with Dr. Mark D'Amato. 4450 South Tamiami Trail, Dr. D'Amato is a veterinary chiropractor treating horses, dogs, or your favorite four-legged friend. First and foremost, animal chiropractic care is not intended to replace traditional veterinary medicine. Complementary care is a type of care that works with your vet, and certainly not instead of them. To find out more information, call Dr. Mark D'Amato at 941-927-7009. That's 941-927-7009. Oh, and by the way, Dr. Mark treats two-legged patients, too.
With the animals.
Please support The Morning Edge on WWPR 1490 AM. I'm co-host Floyd J. Winters, and I can build you a personalized and customized website at an affordable price. Advertise a small business, chronicle a wedding or share a collection of photos, post your own resume or the resume of your out-of-work brother-in-law. For details, visit BradentonWebsiteDesign.com. Oh, do a Google search on the keywords Bradenton website design and see which non-pay-for-click site comes up at the top of the page. Visit BradentonWebsiteDesign.com.
And we are back at the Morning Edge. I'm Floyd J. Winters, and next to me is Augie.
We were just talking about the shooting that happened just recently in South Carolina and police actions and possibly ways of curbing this. I think video cameras is one, but this mentality that everybody is a criminal and you have to regard everybody as a life threat, I can understand that feeling. But why do you have to shoot a person with a knife who happens to be, you know, 50 feet away from you? Why do you have to shoot him in the chest over and over and over again? Once he drops to the ground, isn't he already no longer a threat? Why do you have to keep on shooting? Is it because you don't want him to say anything? A dead man doesn't talk? Is that what the issue is? And why has this happened over and over again? When the person's incapacitated, no longer a threat, why do you keep on putting more bullets into the person?
Well, this guy was running away and was shot at eight times, and five times he was hit. One bullet going right through his body, through his heart, which made him totally gone. This whole business, unless you put regulations as to requirements of what constitutes a police officer, what his education is, this is what they do in countries that have low crime rates. Norway, Europe generally have far, far less of a problem this way, and their police are not killing people. They may get killed But that is the risk of a police officer. You do run the risk with your life on the line, as you do in war. But policing, it should not be war. Is peace maintained under these conditions? No. Is the community under threat? Yes. By who? Unfortunately, in these situations, by our police. This part of the community, the black community in particular, is afraid for their lives. They keep their children in all the time out of fear of some kid randomly getting shot, perhaps by a gang, but as well, perhaps, by a police officer. You know, the other thing that I was watching Warren Buffett, changing gears here a little bit, and the question came to Warren about...
Let's see if we have a caller who's going to add a little bit of insight onto this topic.
Sure.
Caller, I want to put you live on the air at 1490. Do you have a comment on our topic?
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Welcome.
Thank you. The first comments out of August's mouth this morning was Ferguson all over again.
Yes. So.
But not, there is no correlation to that.
The principle of why I said that, Lawrence.
You're explaining what you've said.
No,
but
what
we
I'm
heard
saying,
what you said.
Well, the words.
And what I'm saying is,
I'm going to comment on what you just said.
Lawrence, finish your topic.
One.
Yeah, and then we'll give Augie a chance to respond, Lawrence.
Right.
Thank you. I'm saying that the Ferguson all over again comment speaks for itself. If you have to explain what that means after you've said it, I think that says it all.
Well, I'm being courteous to you more than you are to me, but that's all.
The Mercedes car comment that came next was yet again another inference and baiting into a subject that didn't exist.
Which was?
All police, they're out to kill black people.
I didn't say that, and you're...
I know you didn't. Ferguson all over again. Hands up.
Well, excuse me, Lawrence. Now I get my turn, okay? Courteous people do that. In any event, I see you say Ferguson all over again. Ferguson isn't... What happened in Ferguson and what's been happening in Ferguson is minute as far as police corruption goes, and the willingness to ticket people, to eventually indebt them into debtor's status in jail, provoking people endlessly in other ways, not just shooting people, makes for what we call a very bad policing situation. And so what's happening throughout the country in many, many instances is from various levels of corruption, you have police getting by with murder, juries letting them off, which they let off the police officer in the case of Ferguson. In the case of Garner, they let him off. In the case of Cleveland, they let him off. But in this case, it may be the case, as the mayor had said, you're not above the law if you're in our police department.
Yeah, Lawrence, just a comment for you as we bring you back. I do believe that Ferguson was taken way out of context because, again, the guy had just basically was a violent robber of a grocery store, obviously assaulted the police officer, and was a huge person and was a threat. But what happened in New York with Eric Garner, and what happened with this guy for traffic violation?
What about the young kid at Cleveland? I mean, Floyd and I are going to disagree here. Ferguson was rampant police corruption, and the incident with Michael Brown was such that you can argue that particular circumstance.
Yeah, and the hands up, don't shoot.
Well, but what
wrong.
The people basically said in Ferguson, and they finally came out and voted their own representation, which was being underrepresented, but was not underrepresented, was the amount of tickets which are out of this world, above all executed by the police and the state and the city and county prosecutors. So the injustice that swelled up and went against these people provoked them into riots. And what happened in Garner was peaceful protests as a result. But now we have the evidence that this is not just a little thing in Ferguson, and whether Mr. Brown was violent to the police officer, which he was. I'm not saying he wasn't. But that doesn't excuse the policing that's going on. And I think that's my point ultimately. If you're going to excuse the policing and then come and quibble over wording that you don't happen to find fitting on your coffee table, I think that's a bigger problem.
Okay, Lawrence, I agree with you on Ferguson. I think Ferguson was taken way out of context. The police department was shown to be really abusive. That particular case with the killing of Brown, I'm very ambivalent about that in a number of different ways.
He should be killed because he...
No, I don't think he should have been killed. Oh. I don't think you have to use lethal force in that situation. That's my objection. The fact that he may have been shot, that's a different story. But let's take a look at this video in North Carolina. I'm going to ask a question for you, Lawrence, the particular topic that we were on. Lawrence, this man is shown running away, no threat. He was stopped for a traffic violation.
Of a burnt-out light on his car.
Yeah, how do you respond to that particular... Not changing our topic, but staying on topic, Lawrence. Do you think that was justified by the police to shoot this guy who's obviously no threat, who's running away after being stopped for a traffic violation? Lawrence, you're on.
It appears to me, without knowing all the information other than what I have been provided by on the media, that it looks like the policeman murdered that individual, and that's the end of it. It was a murder.
But it isn't the end of it. That's the problem.
Right. But so I would just say that bashing police.
Well, not bashing police. These are not police. These are thugs wearing a uniform. That's a different thing.
Thugs.
That's right.
You don't like my answer that we witnessed a murder?
No, I like that part of it, of course.
Oh, okay. All right. But so let's go back to bashing police and race baiting.
I don't think it's race baiting.
I know you don't.
And I think you use that too willingly, meaning you don't really understand it.
No, fittingly.
Race baiting is using things to make inflame people against a particular group. No, the police are a group of people that are supposed to know their job and do it professionally. How can you bash a professional who murders
people? You're doing
people?
It. You're a race baiter.
Well, you just want to throw words again. Yeah. Words.
That's right. Now attack the messenger.
Yeah, well, there you go.
In a sense, you both have some points.
Now, Floyd, don't do that. Don't be the great explainer here.
No, I'm not. But at the same token, that's what we're here about. We're here to hopefully explore both sides of the issue. And I absolutely agree with Lawrence. It was murder. And that is the situation.
Did I say it wasn't murder?
No, and we're all agreeing with that. Yeah. We're all saying that it was murder. And I guess the topic is, at this point, is do we want to bash blacks? Do we want to bash police? Or do we want to take a look at really looking at...
Floyd, when you have an unprofessional people acting in unison, that is to say, when... You're not going to tell me when this officer sent his report in and they initially thought this was going to be shoved under the rug and the family got this video. Without this video, we wouldn't know what had happened. So in order to know what the police are doing, we've got to videotape all the different police in these circumstances to have an understanding of what they really do and what really matters.
Absolutely.
And all I'm telling you is if you think the police here are being bashed as a group, well, if you call criticizing the lack of professionality in the different forces, in the different departments, yes, I'm bashing the lack of professionality. These guys are not professionals, and the people that hire them don't care, or this wouldn't continue. And this guy practiced this behavior. He couldn't have taken the taser and laid it somewhere else. He couldn't have handcuffed a dead man. This stuff goes on, dropping guns. The practice of criminality within the departments is too rampant to pretend it's just we can rationalize this away, Floyd. So I have a real problem.
I think it's a wonderful conversation. I think it's something
we
have to explore,
not,
because we've probably had hundreds of Americans who have been killed, murdered, like this particular case by police, but because there was no video evidence.
How many more times, though, that you don't know about? This guy knew exactly what he was doing. That means, to me, that other police... And the guy that came up, the other police officer that came up, didn't. We're going to have to know what he said, and are they going to charge him with any kind of complicity here? So this is wider spread than one individual's Ferguson situation or one individual's situation here in South Carolina.
Now, Anki, you just mentioned something I wasn't aware of. tell me about the involvement of the second officer. I hadn't heard that part yet.
Well, when he came up, that was the victim, and Slager was the killer, police officer, just come up and in front of the other officer dropped the taser next to the body. And he had to have seen that other officer had. I saw the video several times. He comes up, and the officers to the left that had just come up, and the taser gets dropped next to the body. So he didn't say, Officer Slager, what are you doing with that taser? Why are you dropping it next to the body? By the way, this guy's dead. Let's take the handcuffs off. There was no activity like that, because the other officer knelt down, felt his pulse at his neck and his carotids. And this is clearly a common event. These guys are way too comfortable doing this stuff and expecting to get by with it. It was Scalia who basically said the cops can lie to get a conviction. And the thing with respect to what is it? Well, you can't testify against yourself, and you got to be warned about the crime. What's that, Martinez and whatever it's called.
The Miranda Act.
Thank you very much. But my point is, the Miranda Act is there to protect people against incrimination. But Scalia came in and says, well, they need to be arrested. They need to be convicted. We've got police under threat, and we've got to give them more power. And he said that in his talk against Miranda. He got voted down. He lost that argument. But the point is, obviously, Scalia was wrong. And the police are not regulated. And you can't bash something that's a mess. That's the point. Bashing is against somebody that is really legitimate, and someone who is professional is not a real problem. It's because you're bashing people who are good, all in all, and you've got this few rotten apples. I don't think you got a few rotten apples here. That's where we disagree.
And, well, we do agree on the thin blue line that the fact is...
Which is the same
with
thing.
With the rotten apples, whether it's a few or many, if the fact is they're tolerating this, they're accepting this, they're basically allowing these
they're
cover-ups to happen.
They're making movies about... what was the movie, the guy in New York who was basically... His life was under threat for revealing what was going
was
on.
Scorpio?
Scorpio, yeah. I mean, it's just
Al Pacino.
Al Pacino playing the role, but it was not just a Hollywood version of the truth. It is the truth, and it's continuous. Chicago, they convicted a sergeant who had falsely convicted through lying and what have you in Illinois about 25 or 30 people who were in jail, some on death sentence, and he fabricated the thing on these people, and he finally they found out he was getting, and that's why the former governor Ryan basically wiped out what it meant. There's no death sentence in Illinois because they don't trust the police to properly convict. So this isn't an individual thing. This isn't against the police. It's the system of the way in which we put police into uniform. If you're not going to have a regular system that people can understand out there, that these guys are here to serve and to protect you. If they're going to be officers of peace, then they damn well better start acting like it.
Okay, Lawrence, can I ask you a question if I can? Do you see that there may be a problem there as far as there are occasional police murders in a way that we can resolve that or reduce that? What's your feeling on that topic?
I believe that what happened was a murder. There are people that murder that are policemen. There are people
All
that
equal.
Murder that are drugstore employees. There are people that murder that are teachers. There are people of all stripes that commit murder.
Not equal.
I don't condemn whatever they do with a broad brush. Saying
so
that.
So you believe, Lawrence, then that the way we pick officers, police officers, sheriff's department, what have you, is an appropriate system just to be trusted and turn your back on.
You're talking about a human resources
What I'm
problem?
Talking about is the hiring of people for these jobs. In
that would be
of,
in human resources, wouldn't it?
Well, if you want, perhaps. But in
well,
case, in
how
the, in
else
the,
would you do it?
Well, in the case, well, human resources is a term that some departments have and others don't.
Well, they, that's what most have.
Well, most is not all, because I know that the
department... Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, it's a good thing you're there, August, to set us straight. I am saying that you're talking about a murder, and I'm not taking a broad brush and saying that the all police are bad and the color of their skin is the issue. That's not what I'm saying. That's what you're saying.
No, that's what you say I'm saying, but that's all right, Lawrence.
That's right. Ferguson all over again.
Now, Lawrence, I stand by that.
Lawrence,
I know you do.
If I may, Lawrence.
Yes.
Would you recognize that there are occasional problems, and maybe more than occasional problems that happen? We've had a lot
in the past few months. How about the Rolling Stone magazine?
What, people lying?
UVA, yeah.
That was the editor who didn't edit.
But going back...
All right, has that editor been fired?
But Lawrence, let's stay on our topic, though. So we're recognizing that in the past few months... Whether it was a person selling loose cigarettes.
It's been over 2 years this has been that I
know. Well,
it
actually for the past century, we've had situations have happened over and over again. But more recently, because of the prevalence of smartphone cameras, we're having this videotaped. And we're recognizing that it is indeed a problem that we should take a look at, whether it's a young kid on a playground or a person selling loose cigarettes or a person with a taillight. Do you have any thoughts on how we might make it safer for our citizens, to have more trust?
We shouldn't make it safer, right?
To have more trust in our police officers and feel safer on the streets. Any thoughts on that, Lawrence?
I think that is a good feel-good effort and idea, but the reality is that not everyone plays by the rules. People cheat. People commit crimes. For various reasons, what we're talking about ultimately was a murder, and then you can put it and dress it up any way that you want. And I'm just saying that you're using a broad brush. I respect police. I respect the military, and you don't.
No, so you say.
Yeah. Well, Lawrence, I want to thank you very much for your comment.
It was totally my pleasure.
I think you had some good points to present. I think we have some things that we disagree with a lot.
The problem we have is we have people who are safe, it would seem, because of the color of their skin and because of the amount of incarceration. They've already done studies to show that in terms of drug enforcement and so forth, the same offenses of marijuana possession are ignored among whites by police, and the issues of rape on the campuses are relatively few charges. The thing that happened in Virginia being one of the exceptions. But when a black is involved, the enforcement comes down heavy and hard for the same kind of enforcement issues. So the judges rule harshly against the minorities and lighter against the white. And that is just a fact.
Those are the facts you find in the Florida prisons right now. I think it's 7 times more blacks in jail for the same exact crime as whites for possession of marijuana. That is, you're picking up the whites in an equal number of times.
They say the numbers are even greater among whites, and yet they don't arrest.
And the fact is they don't result in the arrest and the incarceration. And we have... almost 1 in 3 black men end up in jail, and many of them for things like marijuana, which a huge amount of Floridians would like to legalize. Right now, it's such an expensive proposition in Florida to take away these people's rights to actually pay to put them in prison. The taxpayers are paying this. They're paying more than they would for a college education. Very little effort as far as reclaiming the lives of these people and getting them education. They're coming back out without the ability to get jobs. This war on drugs seems to be a major failure, and it's hurting the black population tremendously right now.
Well, but the point is, if you cannot go to your councilman in the various communities and the people that stand between you and driving very often, and because you're driving is a privilege, and then you have a situation where a black community, has their precincts moved, as they did in Manatee County by Mike Bennett.
We're talking about voting precincts now.
Voting precincts, which you affected, and he makes the statement, well, the blacks of Africa go 200 miles to their election place, and they vote, so what's wrong with me moving 29 precincts? These are the kinds of things that lead to the frustration and people throwing up their hands and saying, what's the use? So if you're not going to care about those least among us, which is the axiomatic truth of Christianity, whatsoever you do to the least of these, you do unto me, you do unto yourself. You basically harm the community. So you're taking away voting rights. You're ticketing, in the case of Ferguson, everybody under the sun to create revenue for the community. And there was no representation in the government. Now, the newly elected councilmen, as I said earlier, they were elected and they said, well, we're going to keep the police department. They're not going to go to the idea of getting rid of the police department and having a metropolitan force, which was a strong suggestion by the Justice Department. So the thing you have is, if police are to be respected, if you're going to find a situation where they rise above and they go to these kinds of solutions and get rid of the bad apples. When you get a bushel of apples in your home and you get a couple of bad apples, the fleas start coming, the flies start coming, the bugs start coming, and the apples start to go to rot. And if you're not going to go down to that barrel and clean them out, the smell and the problem of the bad apples is going to get worse, folks. And if you want a smelly situation, keep bad apples in your barrel, keep bad apples in your police department, and then you'll have a Ferguson situation. You'll have a situation as in South Carolina, and you'll have a situation as in New York. You'll have one in Cleveland, and you'll have people killing people, conducting justice on the street. What's the point of a court system of trial, bringing Mr. Scott to trial in South Carolina for the burnout light? He could have stood and gotten a ticket and a court fine instead of a death sentence. And you can't justify, you can't call the criticism of police who stand behind what you talk about, Floyd, the thin blue line, and call these people professional. And giving them the honor of being called a police officer is a joke. I just swear to God, I do not understand that kind of excuse making, and then calling someone who criticizes the outcome bashing police. I mean, this is a joke.
Well, I want to thank you for listening. I would encourage you to take a look at this latest video, the pictures, and see what did happen. I just saw the still pictures, and I didn't see the second police officer. But thank you for listening to 1490 AM. We will be back on Friday. I want to thank Lawrence, our caller, and we'll see you then.